Jaya Radham Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janabalava Girivaradari Jaya Radham Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janabalava Girivaradari Yashoda Nanana Vaja Janaranjana Yashoda Nanana Vaja Janaranjana Jamuna Tiravanna Chari Jamuna Tiravanna Chari Jayarata Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janna Balava Girivara Dari Vaja Janaranjana Yashoda Nanana Vaja Janaranjana Jamuna Tiravanna Chari Tiravanna Chari Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Nikaigo Haribo, 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 Nikaigo Haribo. Prabhu Pada, Jaya Prabhu Pada. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna, everybody. Glad to see everybody back to their normal color today. Recognize everybody. I thought I would read a verse. It's found in the Bhagavad Gita, but it's actually from the Srimad Bhagavatam. But very significant, wonderful verse. And I'll just read it since I don't think I have anyone on my computer, but that's okay. This is in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the beautiful story of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is in the ninth canto, fourth chapter, text 68. And the Lord says, Sarvo hridayam mayam Sadhunam hridayam tvaham madanyate najananti naham tebyo manag api. The devotees are always in my heart, and I am always in the hearts of the devotees. The devotee does not know anything beyond me, and I also cannot forget the devotee. There is a very intimate relationship between me and the pure devotees. Pure devotees in full knowledge are never out of spiritual touch, and therefore they are very much dear to me. The last verse again, the last sentence. Pure devotees in full knowledge are never out of spiritual touch, and therefore they are very much dear to me. So I thought I'd talk a little bit about keeping in touch with Krishna. I was just away for about 3 weeks. I went to Vrindavan in India, had a very nice visit. And before I left, knowing that I'd be gone for a few weeks, I talked to a few of my intimate friends and said, please, you know, keep in touch, right? Usually when you go away for a while, you want to keep in touch with somebody, someone who's that means something to you. You don't want to lose that contact. You don't want to lose that relationship. So you ask, please keep in touch. And so this is very much there amongst people that are very intimate with each other. So in the same way, when I got to Vrindavan, it was quite a bit different experience. It was actually a reunion, 40th anniversary of the opening of our big temple in Vrindavan. This is a landmark in the history of ISKCON when we opened our first Indian temple in Vrindavan, the most holy place in all of India. And so it was 40 years ago that happened, and I happened to be there when that was going on. So we had like a reunion. And when I got there, I realized how I was not in touch with all these people for 40 years. And it was really hard to recognize anybody. First of all, 40 years can do a lot on your body, right? And so for the first couple of days, I'm tapping everyone on the shoulder. Who's that? Who's that? Do you remember that person's name? It was like a guessing game who everyone was. And people would come up to you and say, do you remember me? And you try to figure out people's by their faces, trying to connect a face with somebody else. It was actually like a puzzle, like a game. But you can see that the distance and the time, not keeping in touch, that the relationships, you know, faded away, and it's hard to remember them. So you can imagine ourselves in our relationship with Krishna, Krishna being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whom we're all part of and originally with. But unfortunately, at some point, we decided that I really don't need you anymore, Krishna. I would like to be on my own for a while. And we made that decision, and we were sent here to the material world. And when we left, we didn't say, keep in touch. We just said, I'm out of here. You know, I'm going to be the supreme enjoyer now. And so off we went to the material world to be taken care of by Maya, or the illusionary energy in this material world. For a purpose, when one is rebellious, they have to learn some lessons, get back in shape. And so Maya has her program for doing that to us. But we've been gone from Krishna for not just 40 years, more like 400,000 different species of life and all the different years that it takes to come up to the human form of life. It's been a very, very long time. And that Maya Devi, she wears and tears on you a lot on purpose, to the point where one will finally, if they're fortunate and they're burned out enough, they'll say, oh, Krishna, oh God, I need you again. Where are you? I'd like to get back in touch with you again. And that's for the fortunate person. And if they're very, very fortunate, then Krishna will send a representative to come and remind you, to invite you back to a reunion with him. And so you get an invitation, just like probably a lot of you get high school invitations, right, to come to a reunion, right, a long time ago. So we get a reunion. We get an invitation by the spiritual master, by the Lord's representative, to please come back. And this is usually in the form of a devotee. A devotee of the Lord will come and give you a book, right? So many of us got books, or we got invitations to come to the temple, or we heard the holy name. Just like yesterday, so many people came here, but they actually got to get in touch again with Krishna just by hearing, even though they didn't know it, maybe they didn't even want it, but they got it, right? And their lives will never be the same. Because it is so easy to come in touch with Krishna again in this age, just through the chanting of the holy name and hearing the philosophy and seeing the devotees. But it's also, we can understand that Krishna not only sends his representative, but he has a special influence on every single soul, because he can expand himself and sit in your heart. He's sitting in everyone's heart as the super soul. We have two little birds sitting in the tree in our heart. One is Krishna and one is me. And he's been waiting day by day for us to look his way. So this is our opportunity in the human form of life to look his way. But you can imagine Krishna's position. He's been waiting there for these 400,000 births and so many different years, with us being, you know, completely oblivious to him, not taking him with serious anything. And he's just been still very patiently waiting there for it to come back and to be with him. And so we have to take advantage and keep in touch by devotional service, by taking up the holy name. And it's such an easy process. A long time ago, there was a process of yoga, which was much more strenuous. It was actually a way that they could actually meditate, control their senses, go inside and actually see, eventually, after hundreds or thousands of years, actually see the super soul in the heart. But it was never, it's never a continuous viewing. Very soon it would go away. And it was after many, many births. And you would not achieve Krishna, would not achieve full realization of God, because the devotion and the love for God was not there. And so in this age, this is a topmost yoga. Yoga means to connect, to reunite with God. And this is the easiest and most sublime yoga, called bhakti. And what it does is it actually begins to change your heart. There was one little boy who was 5 years old. He had a mantra, and he went to the forest to meditate and to actually see God. He wanted to see God, but for a lot of material reasons, he wanted a lot of things, material. And he actually achieved that vision. The Lord appeared to him. But, you know, here I am now, and I'm gone the next minute. But that urged him to become a devotee, to revive in his heart that love for God. And so he became actually a very great devotee, Dhruva Maharaj. And so now we have this process of bhakti, where we have to work on the heart. We have to revive that loving service, which will attract Krishna even more. There's one beautiful song called Mama Mandare, talking about the heart as a temple, and how we have to make it such a beautiful place that the Lord, who's been sitting there for so long, will be very comfortable in a beautiful devotional atmosphere. And that's what these temples are about. We come here to the temple and we clean our hearts. And we make our temple a heart also. And this becomes our life and soul, to make it such that we will never forget Krishna. And someday we'll actually see the Lord in our heart also. It's described that the super soul is something like Skype, I guess, where it has a little thing where you can see somebody now while you're talking to them a million miles away, right? So we can talk to Krishna and be with him and also see him when we're, like this verse says, when we have that full knowledge of God. And then we'll be completely in touch with God, so much so that we'll be able to see him at every moment, like the pure devotee does. So this should be an impetus for us to work very hard on cleansing the heart. Many people say that bhakti yoga is the yoga of the heart. And of course, the Maha Mantra has that special ability to cleanse very deeply also. So you begin to wonder why it's such a simple process. Well, then why are we so reluctant to actually take part and to chant purely and to not really go that deeply? And it's something like, have you ever heard of the macho man? You know, the man that wants to be so independent, right? So what happens is that our ego has that intention of still wanting to be independent of God. And thinking that I don't need any help, I don't need anybody, I'm a self-made man, I don't need God, and if I need God, I'll get him myself, I don't need anyone's help. And so this completely destroys our ability to change the heart, because that false ego is so big. Just like when you get instructions how to build something, like put a desk together, and usually, especially men, they think, I don't need to read the instructions, do I? I know how to put this thing together, no problem, you know, A, B, C, no. And all of a sudden you get going and you go, oh my gosh, and then you, well, I guess I should get out the instructions, right? And then you realize you've lost all this time and you get a little bit humbled. So in this process of devotional service, we have to humble ourselves and realize that we do need the help of the spiritual master and of the super soul and of all the knowledge that Krishna has given us in the Bhagavad Gita, and by the devotees who are constantly trying to help us become more pure in heart. So this false ego can be a problem for many of us. But what it takes is that we have to admit that my position eternally is just a servant of God. And it's something like a little bit painful at first, just like when you get a pair of new shoes, right? And it's like a whole different fit for your foot. And sometimes it's very uncomfortable for quite a while. You're trying to break in these new shoes. And so in the same way, we've been thinking that we're so independent. Now we're so dependent. So devotional service, it sometimes get a little bit of blisters on your feet, right? You get blisters. And those sores are our attachments and our false ego and our bad habits. But after a while, taking part in devotional service, the fit is just perfect. Eternally, yes, that's who I am. I'm just a devotee of Krishna. And I should be happy just doing any humble service for Krishna. And then as you become more purified and you begin to see Krishna in your heart, then you realize that Krishna is in everybody's heart. Everybody. I was sitting in a conversation with Srila Prabhupada. It was after we picked him up at an airport, and we were all sitting at his feet, and a reporter's asking, you know, why have you come here? What are you doing? And he said that I came to teach you what you've forgotten, Krishna. And he said, everyone is a devotee of Krishna. And he pointed to everybody and the man who was asking the questions also. And he says, but these people here with smiles on their faces, they admit it, and they're happy. But everyone is a devotee of Krishna. Everyone has the same size shoe, actually. We're all simple devotees of Krishna. But some people are, you know, got their feet in these big, huge, false ego shoes, tripping around, falling on their face, falling again, birth after birth, into another lifetime of misery. So we have to somehow or other understand our real position and be happy doing that. So it's our choice of how much time we actually want to be in touch with Krishna. Do you want to just be in touch with Krishna on the weekends? Come here, see him? Or maybe just on festivals? Or maybe, you know, maybe just for a few weeks in my lifetime and then forget about devotional service. Or else you can actually, Srila Prabhupada has given us a nice program where every single day you can wake up early and chant his holy name. Actually, japa is the very intimate phone call to Krishna, the very intimate touch with Krishna, where you can spend, you know, a couple hours or whatever, however much time you have, with your japa beads and look at beautiful pictures of Krishna and have that special private time with him, listening to his holy name, and actually experiencing revolutionary cleaning of your heart and seeing, beginning to be in touch with Krishna so directly just through his holy name. So this is something that we should all take advantage of. It's like we've been given one of those phone cards, you know, that have unlimited time. It's like an unlimited time we can have with him, and it's completely free of charge. Even it has like those little SIM cards, universally, you know, all you can go anywhere in the universe, and the holy name is good everywhere. Like I travel around a lot, and I see that the holy name works for everybody. Everyone can sit down and chant Hare Krishna and have the same direct experience. So it's a wonderful opportunity. And so if someone gave you a unlimited gift card and you stuck it in your wallet and never used it, pretty stupid, right? So, you know, actually I have one. I've had my wallet for I don't know how long. It only has $2 on it. I guess that's why I don't use it. But, you know, we have such a wonderful thing. Why not use it? Prabhupada recommended that we chant as much as we can, a minimum of 16 rounds. It takes a couple hours. We can spend 2 hours with Krishna a day, be in touch with him. And then there's service. Service we can do, just like yesterday, everyone was engaged in so much service and chanting at the same time. And that makes a big difference when you're chanting while you're doing service or hearing lectures and things like that. It really shrinks that ego, that false ego of the I, me, and mine. I'm doing this for so-and-so. Or it's my service. Or I'm doing this. So it has more effect. The reception is more clear. That static of the false ego goes away. So you can actually realize that, yes, I'm doing this for Krishna. I'm not doing it for myself. And so there's a great, great potency in that. And then there's the big spiritual touch, the conference call like we had yesterday, where everyone was together, chanting together, and experiencing, you know, a direct connection with Krishna. The more people, the better. The more you chant, the better it gets, right? Thousands of people together. I don't know if you've ever been in a kirtan where there's sometimes 10,000 people. Now it's becoming more popular. Actually, my husband was down in Brazil and said that there were 250,000 people at their holy festival. So you can imagine the sound vibration and the colors. Right, you know? So, the more people, the better. The more potency there is in the holy name. And since we have this wonderful gift of the holy name, there's a special thing about this card that we not only can use it for ourselves. And there's no expiration date. Even next lifetime, you can start where you left off. But also you can give that gift to other people. And there's a very nice song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur about the holy name, how when you give it to other people, you get a commission. And then you get special benefit next lifetime, too. You get extra bonus points, extra brownie points by giving it to other people. So there's never any loss. There's only gain in this process of chanting the holy name. So it's up to us how much we want to be in contact with Krishna, how much we want to keep reviving that relationship. And it's going to take a long time. It's been a long time since we've been with him. Just like when you haven't seen somebody, or like at this festival, I hadn't seen people for a long time. So it took quite a while to reminisce and to remember, the good old days and things like that. But it's very important that we do that. Otherwise, it is said that you can go very fast alone, but you can go very far together. I think it's an African saying. So all of us, helping each other, we can go back to Godhead and have a grand reunion in the spiritual world. Where we can be together forever and have fantastic kirtans of unlimited living entities. And so it's also very important to keep in touch with other devotees. I can tell you that this 40th reunion was pretty amazing. It was a reunion of about 140 disciples of Srila Prabhupada that had been pioneers in the establishing of Krishna consciousness in India, going back and starting in India. And I had some opportunities. Everyone spoke some of their pastimes. It's just amazing of the sacrifices that these devotees did to pioneer this movement, especially in a foreign country, not knowing the language. And 40 years ago in India was very different than it is today. If anyone's been to Vrindavan or to these villages and experienced it 40 years ago, it's like day and night, practically. Some of the experiences, especially I was in a car with some of the ladies that had been in pioneers in that movement, and they were mostly sent there because their husbands were sent there, so they went there, not like they wanted to go there, but they tried to raise families there in India even, and some of them told me that there was not enough food. Even when you're pregnant, you have to eat certain things. There wasn't even enough food. They lost, like, instead of gaining weight, they lost weight. And one woman had a child that was only 4 pounds because of not having the proper food and things like that. It was not easy. It was definitely not easy. The where they were, there was no running water, no electricity. Nobody wanted to even take them to Vrindavan. It was so far in a rickshaw. It was on the outskirts of town. They were living in mud huts. And some of the devotees told us how they would hear screams sometime, and they would say that there's a cobra under my bed, ready. And they would say, they'd try to get the guard to come and kill the snake, and the guard would run away saying, no, and he'd run away. And so this one devotee would have to take, he didn't know what to do with the snake, and so he just would take the tail of the cobra and just throw them over the wall or something like that. And this was multiple times they had to deal with these cobras, what less scorpions and things like that. Not easy. These are people, and these devotees only did this because of their love for their spiritual master. Totally dedicated. They would do anything. One time they had like a very, very crude place to live, and there was like an open sewage, and grass had grown over it, and a cow came and fell in, and it couldn't get out. And so they tried ropes and everything, and it was drowning. And they thought, how inauspicious on your brand new property for a cow to die. So they had to jump in the sewage pit completely and go underneath the cow and lift it up. So these were some of the exciting things that they had to go through. Not a lot of fun. But simply they thrived on hearing the holy name and on the other devotees' associations. And they said that they learned so many slokas and read so many of Prabhupada's books during that time to keep in contact, to keep united with Krishna, and to keep their hearts completely in love with Srila Prabhupada. And so you can see that this made them, like it says in this purport, very dear to Krishna. Surely they were in the heart. They still are very endeared into the heart of Krishna. So these sacrifices, they come along with devotional service. And one should expect them in different forms, in different ways. Each person has a special sacrifice, an austerity that Krishna wants you to perform to become endeared to him. But we all have that sacrifice of chanting the holy name to please him. And we find that it does please Krishna. Otherwise, none of us would be here. If we haven't felt that reciprocation, we wouldn't keep chanting, would we? There has been a reciprocation. Standing in front of the deities in Vrindavan, not getting very close because there's so many people, especially on the big holiday of the opening anniversary. I was thinking, all these people, Krishna's in their heart, and they're all seeing Krishna, and they're so ecstatic about seeing Krishna that, It's universally, we're all connected to Krishna. We're all the same, but we're all different. Each person standing in front, all those thousands of people standing in front of the deities, are seeing Krishna in a different way. They have a different relationship with Krishna. It's such a unique thing that Krishna is in everyone's heart, and he is waiting for each one of you to give him a message that, yes, this lifetime, please, how can I serve you? What sacrifice can I do for you? What can I do to please you? And so we have to take very seriously the orders, instructions of the spiritual master, and Krishna's instructions here in Bhagavad Gita and all these books, so that Krishna never leaves our thoughts and we don't leave Krishna's thoughts. So these are some of the things. There's other pastimes that we could spend a lot of time on, of some of the things that they went through in sacrificing the spreading of this movement. But I want to encourage all those people that think, oh, yeah, too bad that I wasn't in those early pioneer days, you know, how wonderful it was. And it was. No one was, they would all do it 100 times again because it was such an experience. But all of you are pioneering also. There's so much work left to be done. Prabhupada wanted this whole universe to be chanting Hare Krishna. He wanted everyone to become happy and blissful. So we all should figure out how I can take part in pioneering wherever I am. Like these girls are in Orlando. So much to do, right? So much to do. So many people don't know about Krishna. There's so many other cities, you know, just in Florida, or even at your work, or wherever you are. The pioneering work has not stopped by any means. So everyone should consider themselves a pioneer in this movement and try to fulfill the wishes of Srila Prabhupada, because he's in contact with Krishna all the time. Not one minute was he ever not in contact with Krishna. And he knew what Krishna wants, right? He wants this whole planet to become Krishna conscious. So we have a lot we can do in so many different ways. So everyone should pray to the deities, pray to their spiritual master to engage in this pioneering, wonderful movement of Krishna consciousness. So maybe some people have some questions or some comments or some suggestions. Nothing?
It really shows how much it means to get people interested and to share it.
Yeah, many people think spiritual life is a lonely process, that I can just go off and try to touch Krishna or touch God by myself. I can hear that voice. Many people say, I hear the voice. Like my mother says, I talk to God all the time. But some of the things she would say to God aren't very pleasant, you know, when she doesn't like something. So, yes, we think we might be going very fast by ourselves, but we're going to miss a lot. We're going to miss making it the long haul all the way to God. It's a long way. Like I said, it's been a long time since we've been with him, and we need a lot of help. And that's why together we can go far. We can go the whole length. We can actually reach perfection of actually attaining, Krishna's lotus feet back in the spiritual world, but we can't do it alone. We might think we can, but and we might go somewhere fast, but we won't make it all the way. So yeah, it's a nice thing I heard. Actually, I heard it on the plane coming back from India. I'm looking at some African movie, and it was an African proverb at the end. That was really nice, because sometimes I also have that mentality because I do things very fast, and yeah. But then I miss so much because I could be doing it with other people, and it's a lot more fun. So Krishna consciousness is more fun the more people do it. Just like yesterday, working with other people, doing services together, becomes much more ecstatic and much more meaningful. Okay, Hare Krishna. So we can all take prasad. Wait, there's one other comment. It's described that it's simultaneously done. It's described that the sun, when it rises, like if I was looking in the dark in my room in a mirror, I wouldn't see myself. But when, as soon as the sun comes up, I can see myself and the sun. So simultaneously, we can see ourselves and God. And at the same time, when we see that, we'll see God in everyone's heart. So it's not just one thing first. We can begin to love God, and we can begin to have more appreciation for everybody else because we do realize that God is in everyone's heart. So it's self-realization and love of God is all comes together. But it's not separate. Like it's described, watering the root of the tree. I can't just love every single leaf on, you know, water every single leaf on the tree without watering the root. So I have to love God, and automatically all the leaves will blossom, right? So I have to love God, and I love everybody. So we can't love God until we also come cleansed and realize that we're part of God. So it's wonderful. Self-realization is, you gain so much. You gain so much appreciation for everybody and everything, because when you see Krishna is in your heart, you'll see also even the trees and the animals. You know, some people have these movements where they just love whales or things like that. But what about the trees and things like that? I went to a religious diversity convention in Ocala, and they were talking about something like that. Oh, but why don't we do help these people and help these people and help those people? And I said, what about the animals too? Their spirit, soul, right? I said, what about, why not help the living, other living entities? And they all went, yeah, I didn't say a word. But it's nice. We can have appreciation for everyone and love for everyone just by coming here and doing some little humble service. Jai, so now we can all do this. Oops, yes. Krishna Kripa.
Thank you for reminding us about how universal the holy name is. But I also see in my travels all the kinds of people from all kinds of different places that have talked about the name and really increases my faith and community as well.
Yeah, it's such a potent thing. It works everywhere. It works anywhere and everywhere, the holy name. And it's fun to actually travel and see people from all different countries all chanting together. Chinese and Japanese and everybody coming together. It's nice to see everybody taking prasadam together too, so we can go take prasadam. Hare Krishna.